Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon. What a beautiful day. It is really,
gorgeous.
Really nice. We're in the mid-50s, and maybe some of the snow is melting. We have actually, I don't think it's a bad stretch of weather after all that cold, although tomorrow is supposed to rain all day. Maybe that helps wipe some of this away as well. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
Great.
That's good. That's enthusiastic. Good. Ethan, wait, I don't have your mic up. See, darn it. I'm not in the habit of having your mic up at the beginning
that's
of the
fair.
Show.
You get a pass. That I'm peachy, though.
Host's fault. Good, good, good. I am, too. I have a lot to talk about here today. Some really, really good audio in the monologue coming up. Brian Kilmeade's going to join us at 325. We have Sue's News. Wednesday's a day that we visit with Alex Rich from Y98, so a lot coming up. But I want to start with the Laken Riley Act, because that was signed into law. Trump signed that into law, the first bill that he signed into law today.
To Laken's family, we will keep Laken's memory alive in our hearts forever, everyone's hearts. With today's action, her name will also live forever in the laws of our country, and this is a very important law. This is something that has brought Democrats and Republicans together. That's not easy to do. Laken did it. Laken did it. America will never, ever forget Laken Hope Riley.
Yeah, well, Laken did it, but not for all the Democrats, not for Wesley Bell, not for many Senate Democrats. We'll get to that in a moment. I was thinking about this because I was listening to the bill signing ceremony from a couple of hours ago, and I thought, you know, he mentioned that Laken's family was in the room, and I just can't even imagine how hard it is to repeatedly have to live through this nightmare, but obviously very happy that Trump kept his word on this.
Our family will forever be grateful for the prayers of the people across our nation and for helping to get this legislation into law. We also want to thank President Trump for the promises he made to us. He said he would secure our borders and that he would never forget about Laken. And he hasn't. He's a man of his word. We trust that he will fight for the American people.
There was interesting moment. I didn't pull the audio from this, but at one point someone tries to shout out a message or a question about something else.
Right.
And Trump says, not the time for that. But he stays very calm.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, after years of saying, hey, maybe you should change your behavior, he has changed his behavior. And we'll get into all the rest of the successes. And I have this Stephen Miller stuff with Jake Tapper is epic that I'll get to in a moment. But there's no reason to vote against this. There was no reason for anyone to vote against this. Let's look at John Fetterman and some of the other Senate Democrats. They realize, what does it do? What is this horrible, horrible bill that 77 Democrats in the House voted against? Wait, let me see, sure I get the numbers right because I might be off. I'll double check that here in a second.
It's a requirement for DHS to actually detain these people. So if you commit, if you're in the country illegally, you get arrested for a crime, you have to detain them. It's no longer an option. So if this was in effect during the Biden administration, you want to see criminal aliens being released every by the hundreds every day. So this is going to be, this is in statute, it's in law. You got to detain these people. It's the right thing to do to protect public safety. President Trump, a game changer. This is going to be a very effective action to make our streets safer from starting day one.
I'm still trying to get the numbers here.
I think there were 11 Democrat senators that voted for it.
Right. In the Senate, but how many House members? There
yeah,
was still
sure
a pretty good majority of the Democrats voted against this for no reason.
I mean, I was going to say, did they justify that in any way?
Some were saying, look, it doesn't go far enough when it comes to, you know, ensuring protections for the Dreamers. Well, what John Fetterman said is, okay, that's a separate issue. Let's take that up. This is not that issue. You know, this is what they do in Washington. They like to bog things down. Republicans do it, too. You know, where they throw all this stuff in there and then they muddy up the waters. But this was an important piece of legislation. It's more than just symbolic, thinking about what's going on in this country with migrants. Now, I there's some really good stuff. Fred, you had not even heard this Jennings.
No.
So have you? All right. So let me start with that. And I'll get to Stephen Miller, who just slays Jake Tapper on CNN. David Strom, one of our favorites from hotair.com, has been pumping out some columns over there the last couple of days. And yesterday's, I think I mentioned this, he said, I witnessed a murder. And it was J.D. Vance on with Face the Nation. What's her name?
Margaret
Brennan. Thank you. And he just killed her the other day. She was such an idiot, and it's embarrassing. And this is where the state of journalism is. And I don't know how they keep doing it to themselves. And I'm going to show you or play another example of this. It's just stunning. It really is with Jake Tapper. The more I think about Jake Tapper, I just don't know how he got to where he is. I really don't. But here's Jennings last night. Okay, now the first part of this is not the part that is my favorite. But I think you're going to see where this is going. I can't even spell things right now because I don't see. I'm just saying, I don't see this right now. What am I missing here, Fred? See if Ethan can help me out here.
Yeah.
Because I'm just looking at my entire list here, and I don't have Jennings in here, and I just listened to it in the other room. Is he there? I need him real quick because this is going to blow up my whole monologue. Ethan, where are the Jennings cuts?
CNN panel.
Oh, CNN panel. Okay, that's where he threw me off. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. You guys got to put the names there. Put the names there because I'm not sure what's going on. Here he is. This is last night.
You are trying to actively hire illegal immigrants. If you think that's best, if you are trying to game the system, if you are trying to help someone break U.S. federal immigration law, I think if we're going to have a true crackdown on illegal immigration in this country, it has to involve everybody who's participating in it. And I think you've raised a good point with this topic. And so employers and anyone else who's part of this pipeline, I think they ought to be put on notice.
And
you got to play by the rule. Everybody has to play by the rule.
I don't want to hear that they're doing work that no one else will do. Talk to guys in the building trades, plumbers, contractors.
Picking strawberries.
Okay, so there's this, I don't know who this person is. Let's Google her right now. Have you ever heard of someone by the name of Jenna Arnold?
No, I don't think so.
So she is going to be, I think, a strong contender for one of the dumbest people on the planet after I play you this. But it says American activist and entrepreneur. So she's on last night with this panel, and here's what she says.
Can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
Let me play
wait,
that again.
What?
And let's also mock her. I cannot wait. She lives in Webster Groves, Missouri. I almost guarantee it here. This is Jenna Arnold.
Can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
Yeah, she said what you heard.
She said, I cannot wait
that American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies. She's acting, and listen, because this is pretty good, and Stephen Miller really hands it to Tapper on this same issue, but listen to what she's saying. She basically, this is what they're making the case for. Oh, if we crack down on migrants, especially those who rape and kill women, we won't have crops. Right? We won't have people picking our crops.
I cannot wait until there is a full crackdown on all small businesses, as if that's going to be the solution to the immigration problem. It is just going to put immigration-related issues further into the darker corners. We're not going to see them. It's just going to become even harder to solve the problem. It doesn't make sense to punish individuals and people when there is a broken system.
Who's being punished? Let's think about that. The people who broke the law in the first place are being punished, right? So, Stephen Miller, I don't think it's fair to have an interview with Stephen Miller because he's going to slice you up and he's going to dice you up and you're not going to win the battle. And I think Jake Tapper found this out the hard way on this issue of immigration.
Because one of the reasons that President Trump got elected, according to President Trump in an interview, I think it was with Kristen Welker of NBC, was because of grocery prices.
Now let me stop right there. Let's reframe this because even the question is ridiculous. He has to. This is a media. Keep this in mind. This is a media, and CNN in particular, they have no problem disparaging anyone connected with Trump, calling them a racist, calling them a bigot, calling them a xenophobic. They don't attribute that, right? This is what used to happen in journalism. In journalism, you used to say, well, someone alleges that what he said is racist. The media doesn't do that anymore. They deem what's racist and what's not racist, right? So just listen to the way that he phrases the question here with Stephen Miller, because he acts like Trump is somehow manipulating or manufacturing the idea that people voted for him because they can't afford their damn groceries. Well, that's not the right one. That was a song. Here we go.
One of the reasons that President Trump got elected, according to President Trump in an interview, I think it was with Kristen Welker of NBC, was because of grocery prices. Not the only reason, but a reason. High prices, inflation, especially at the grocery. The Department of Agriculture says that between 2020 and 2022, 42% of crop workers were undocumented immigrants. And in many cases, as you know, these migrants do jobs many Americans do not want to do.
Of course.
So how does President Trump make sure that the effort to deport people who are not in this country legally doesn't end up hurting Americans who want safe borders? Absolutely. But also don't want to see even more higher prices in groceries.
Now, what you need to realize is there's no effort on CNN, because I've been watching and listening to them a fair amount here the last couple of weeks, Aaron Burnett in particular. There's no effort to focus on some of the issues that are affecting American citizens related to immigration. They don't talk to people in Chicago that are sick and freaking tired of having their tax dollars go to migrants who aren't here legally. They're tired of it. The American people are tired of it. We voted for this, right? There are consequences. And CNN doesn't get it. They want to focus on all these things. But Stephen Miller gets it, and he just kills him here.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not your position, Jake. You're just asking the question that we should supply America's food with exploitative illegal alien labor. I obviously don't think that's what you're implying. Only 1% of alien workers in the entire country work in agriculture. The top destination for illegal aliens are large cities like New York, like Los Angeles.
This is so important.
Love it.
Like Chicago. This is where the illegals are going. They're getting dropped off in some of these cities, the sanctuary cities. They're not out in the middle of California picking the crops. Are there migrants who are not documented picking the crops? Sure. Okay? But Stephen Miller makes it pretty clear here that, come on, Jake Tapper and CNN.
And small industrial towns, of course, all across the heartland, as we've seen with the Biden floods. Mm-hmm. None of those illegal aliens are doing farm work. Those 30,000 legal aliens that Joe Biden dumped into Springfield.
Yeah, I'm talking about the ones that
I'm explaining this.
He tries to deflect.
No, you're kind of changing the subject.
No, he's not.
I mean, I'm talking about the ones.
I will give me 30 minutes. I'll go as deep as you want this.
I'm talking about the ones that work in the agriculture industry.
You can come back and talk
about the ones in the cities. I swear.
Why is that not? That's a valid point. What he's saying is, Jake, you idiot. We're talking about, this is the people that are invading the cities are the ones we're going after, and the criminals, right? Are we going to go out to the middle of the blueberry patch in California and round them up? I don't think so. I don't think that's the plan right now. So Miller finally has enough of it and says, look,
I'll do the whole answer. The illegal aliens that Joe Biden brought into our country are not full stop doing farm work. They are not. The illegal aliens he brought in from Venezuela, from Haiti, from Nicaragua, they are not doing farm work. They're in our cities collecting welfare.
Now, how about the Chinese nationals and the others that were streaming across the border, too? He's not even mentioning them.
The farmers, there is a guest worker program that President Trump supports. Over time as well, we will transition into automation, so we'll never have to have this conversation ever again. But there's no universe in which this nation is going to allow the previous president to flood our nation with millions and millions of illegal aliens who just get to stay here. And we are especially not going to allow a subset of those illegal aliens to rape and murder our citizens. So we are going to unapologetically enforce our immigration laws.
Thank you.
And as I'm sure you will celebrate, we are going to unleash the power and might of the U.S. government to eradicate the presence of transnational threats on our soil.
First of all, did you notice he threw the thing in there about automation? He's not wrong about that.
Nope.
That's something else we're going to have to confront. But thank you, Stephen Miller, for making that clear to Jake Tapper. It's not that hard. It really isn't. A lot of this is common sense. So then he brings up, and there's a little bit of, I guess, consternation on this, and there's nuance to this. But one of the stories of the day, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, they went in and they froze a lot of these federal grants and the money. And so the one story earlier today, and Fred, I don't know if you have a different interpretation of this or not, but there was an announcement that said the Office of Management and Budget has rescinded the federal aid freeze, according to a memo. But then Carolyn Levitt came on and said, this is not a rescission of the federal funding freeze. It's simply a rescission of the OMB memo to end any confusion created by the court's injunction. So I'm not exactly sure on all of that. But here's, you know, a question. Tapper gets into the freeze issue.
So let's just walk through this, because obviously there's confusion. Is this pause going to affect Medicaid?
It does not affect any service that the government is required to provide. It does not affect any entitlement. It does not affect any service to citizens. Does not affect any individual benefit, any public assistance program, or anything of that nature.
Okay, so that's
very glad for the chance to explain what's going on here. In fact, I could actually give you some backstory I think you'd find very useful, Jake.
This is
so
interesting.
We found, after the president had issued a pause on funding to NGOs that were subtly illegal immigrants, we found that bureaucrats at HHS were trying to funnel billions more dollars to those resettlement agencies and try to get around the executive order. It became clear that bureaucrats were still trying to funnel unapproved discretionary grants of funds to their pet projects. So OMB, led by Russ Vogt, felt it was necessary to protect taxpayer resources to issue clearer guidance establishing for these discretionary grants of funding that are not directed by Congress, that they go through a political approval process at the agency.
So, you know, I'm crazy. That sounds fiscally, what's the word I'm looking for? Responsible.
Yes.
Responsible.
Yes.
Right? But Jake Tapper and CNN, they don't want to entertain anything like that when it comes to common sense. There's more audio that I can share. We'll take a break, though. We got Kilmeade coming up here, Sue's News in the next hour. Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened with Carolyn, but also some personal news about his battle against depression, which I have some relation to, and we'll get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. It's all coming up.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your boy RFK Jr. was up there for the confirmation hearings today, Sue.
I do know that.
Yep.
I'm sure they told him he was an anti-vaxxer and all kinds of attacking. I haven't had time to look.
You know who is right behind him, tearing up at times and being serious?
Who?
Cheryl Hines. Right behind him.
She's so, they're
very
so
proud of RFK Jr. Here's one thing he said.
All of my kids are vaccinated. I've written many books on vaccines. My first book in 2014. The first line of it is, I am not anti-vaccine. And the last line is, I am not anti-vaccine.
We have Brian Kilmeade on the line with us this afternoon. Of course, he's coming back to St. Louis at the factory on March 22nd. We'll give you details on that. Brian, good afternoon. How are you on this Wednesday?
Good. I mean, I was trying to watch every minute of that. That was an excellent hearing, if you like entertainment. But I was doing the radio show at the same time. But it was pretty wild. It's good to see that Bernie Sanders is willing to buy a onesie. that was a little
surprising.
All right,
now you got. I haven't talked about that. You want to explain that? Because he had this big, they were making an allegation about an organization that RFK Jr. is affiliated with that was selling onesies that were somehow proclaiming kids to be not vaccinated.
Yeah, so he's selling, he goes, is it true you're anti-vax? Okay, that's true. All right, so if I'm taking your word, why is a group that you were involved with selling these onesies for $26? And whatever they said on it was was anti-vax. And he's like, well, I'm not associated with that group. He goes, but this onesie, Are you saying you're not going to buy this onesie?
Oh my
so we're
gosh.
Talking about a onesie with an 82-year-old man and a 70-year-old man about scribblings that on a website. It was just hysterical. And actually, Bernie Sanders is a relatively logical questioner. I think he's relatively open, probably wouldn't vote for RFK. But it's just amazing. That was his exhibit that he blew up on and put it on his stand like in 1977. He put it on an easel on Oak Tag. And so it's crazy.
Bernie has this way. I don't know what it is about. We can play. Here's one of the questions on climate change.
I happen to believe that climate change is real. It's an existential threat. And it is a health care issue. Donald Trump thinks that it is a hoax originating in China. Question is, in your judgment, is climate change a hoax or is it real, causing devastating problems?
President Trump and I, from the beginning, from our first meeting, agreed to disagree on that issue.
Yeah, he said, and he kind of, I don't know if he didn't say it wasn't a hoax, but he went on to say that he disagrees with the president on that issue. What do you know at this point, are there some Republican senators that are thinking about not voting for him along the lines of Hegseth, or is it looking like he might clear this?
Well, no, I think that he's still going to do. You know, Murkowski and Collins are not on, committee. Either is McConnell. So I would assume that since he's unconventional, they're not going to vote for him. And then that would leave. You can't lose another, unless Cory Booker, evidently loves Kennedy, would vote for him. But I don't. He's never done anything courageous as a politician in his life. So that would leave Senator Cassidy. Kennedy Cassidy is a doctor who would not commit either way when he left today, the committee. So, and he had some very direct questions. I'm not sure he was satisfied by the answers. But remember, Tom Tillis also had some questions about Hegseth, but John Thune put the pressure on. And Cassidy was already on the president's bad side by voting for impeachment. Does he not care at this point? Or does he say, this is my chance to let it be known that I helped you out here?
You know, speaking of courage, how about when I talked about this in the beginning here of the show, there are still a handful of Democrats, quite a few in the House, that voted against the Laken Riley Act. President Trump signed that in front of her family today in the Oval Office at the White House. I don't know how anyone could be opposed to this, Brian. It's a pretty simple piece of legislation. There's complaints made about not affecting or not addressing some of the issues with the Dreamers. John Fetterman made it pretty clear. Okay, that's fine. Let's do that in another piece of legislation, right?
Of course. I mean, there's no way Dreamers is going to be isolated, because Dreamers is something they all agree on. You're born here. You come here as a young child, 2 years old. You're now 26. Should you kick them out? Well, they went to college. They probably played in your soccer team. But should we kick them out? Well, no. Okay, we can come to an agreement on that. Well, what is it? Well, you come, you build the wall, and I'll pass the Dreamers. So there's always going to be a give and take with that. This is not the moment. Laken Riley is a layup. If an illegal alien commits a crime, should you throw him out of the country? Yes. And why it's Senator Gallego of Arizona on with me today, a Democrat who co-sponsored it, as I mentioned, from Arizona, who understands who put him in, a very red state, said, you can represent us, but we need you to vote smartly. And that's why I thought he was great. And it was a fantastic ceremony today in a very sad situation. So, and then there's some questions we're throwing at Trump. He's like, just not the time.
Yeah. And he, by the way, and he didn't yell at anybody. He said, look, not the time. He was very the presidential is the word. How about yesterday with Carolyn Leavitt? I mean, that was pretty good. Now, I admitted at the show, look, she's my oldest son's age and does not have a ton of life experience. But holy smokes, she just slayed him in that press room yesterday, Brian, didn't she?
She got Trump experience.
Yes.
And she trained under Kayleigh McEnany. So she's been with him, I believe, all 4 years he's been out of office. So she's seen all the cases. She listens and watches. And so when you come out and you say anything, she probably knows where the policy started, whose ideas they were, who's implemented them, and then how to defend them, as opposed to KJP, who there's probably so little deliberation actually in the White House. She really had no idea what was happening, because this president, to be kind, was not hands-on, as opposed to the current president. So if Leavitt is a fly on the wall in the Oval, it was, if she just pays attention on Trump's airplane, she becomes, and she has confidence and ability to communicate, which she has, she becomes a very good press secretary.
How about this contrast? This is the first day that KJP took over that podium.
Acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a Black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position.
Yeah, so we had identity politics on her first day. We actually had some business done. You know, I've covered every president since 1984, and Ronald Reagan was the first president that I voted for in 1984. I simply can't remember a first, not only 100 days, 200, 300, maybe first couple of years, where more was accomplished in the first 100 hours of this administration, Brian.
It's pretty incredible. It's coming up. There's over 350 executive orders. One, I think they pulled back because it was not put out smartly. Just says we're going to freeze all programs. They say Social Security, Medicare. Oh, and by the way, and anything that you, any program that benefits you personally, we're going to leave in, for example, Meals on Wheels or Head Start. Okay, but what about everything else? What about funding cancer? So it was just wrong way to put it out. Communication was bad, and they pulled it back. So they'll put it back out, but what he was trying to do with that last one that caused some controversy, flashbacks to four years ago, what he was trying to do is say, we're not just going to greenlight any spending programs. We're evaluating every one of them. But I think you do that, and then you come out and say, here are my cuts, as opposed to they're all frozen, personally. But I've never been in that position before. There's 450 separate federal agencies. They say that 75 are dormant, but we're still paying for them. So that would be a cut of 20% of the federal programs just by making the effort to find out where the money's going. That's what he's trying to do. Well, let's just see him just do it when he gets an OMB director in there that can do this himself. It looks like this was done possibly from another area of the White House.
I think this was interesting. He caught my attention on this. Look, he's basically saying we've known this for a couple of days. No more federal workforce from home. But then he said this.
Most of the people we're talking about have not been going to their federal offices in many, many years, from even before COVID. We may ask these people to prove that they didn't have another job during their so-called employment with the United States of America, because if they did, that would be unlawful, as you understand. A lot of people are getting paychecks, but they're actually working other jobs.
I don't know if you say something like that, if you don't have evidence that some of that exists, but I thought that was interesting, because that would be something you would want exposed, I believe.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Okay, Billy Jones in Sarasota says, okay, I am going to take your resignation option and get paid till September, but I'll leave. Or I want to stay. Prove to me you weren't working another job. What do you want to see? Well, my bed, well, washing machine, my bad shoes, the car that I miss a payment on. Like, how do you prove you weren't didn't have another job?
Yeah, I don't know. It is an interesting. I've seen people on the X, formerly Twitter, saying, "Oh, you're going to lose a lot of these good federal workers by insisting that they come into the office." Well, I guess we'll find out, right? How many people are vital to the operation of the country, and how many are not? I love it personally because I think people should have to justify some of these positions. Forgive me, Brian Kilmeade, for using some audio from CNN, but I think you'll appreciate it if you haven't heard it. My friend Scott Jennings on last night with this person, Jenna Arnold. I don't know who she is, but she's not very smart on the immigration front.
Can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies. I cannot wait until there is a full crackdown on all small businesses.
Okay, so blueberries for the smoothie, but that's where they went on the CNN panel. Unbelievable. And how about her voice? That was very attractive, wasn't it?
It almost sounded fake. It almost sounded like they were doing an exaggerated CNN skit.
Yeah, it did sound like that. But,
yeah, but
on the immigration front, I mean, here again, you got, you know, Jake Tapper and some of the others out there not still understanding that if you come into the country illegally, you already broke the law, right?
How about having such a little idea of people that come into our country, they're picking our blueberries and mowing our lawns. So here's the thing. What don't they understand about criminals? And if you're sitting there hanging out with TDA, a Venezuelan gang, prison gang, and it turns out you're a good guy who just happens to be here illegally, you're going to be brought in. You're going to show that you have a court appearance coming up, and you're going to make sure you show up. But if it turns out you've avoided your court appearances or you've committed a crime and you're hanging out with the kingpin of a Venezuelan drug gang, you're arrested too. And that's what people are pointing at. Well, you're picking up everybody. Not picking up everybody. But if you're hanging out with a gangster or a mobster, You have to explain yourself. And that's what Homan's saying. So Homan, I wrote him last night just to make sure I was clear on this. And he wrote me and said, we're going for the criminals, but there are some collaterals we're picking up.
There's going to be.
And
right.
Yeah, and number two, he said, we're picking up the pace. It's going to get faster. We're going to do more.
Well, that'll be fascinating to watch, and I think Tom's off to a really good start. What's coming up on Sunday night or Saturday night? Well, I can ask you about your plans on Sunday night, but what's coming up on your show on Saturday night, Brian? Sorry.
I mean, still working on a few things. We're going to do the media with Carly Shimkus. We'll find out the media moments that matter. We are working on the food babe. She's going to be joining us because she was with RFK as they came up with this different way for us to eat and digest, and some of the poisons are in our everyday foods and some of the plastics in your Subway your Subway sandwiches and all this stuff. The food babe was one of the first. She was sitting right behind RFK at the hearings. She's going to be with us, staying off television until our appearance on Saturday night. And possibly having Senator Kennedy. We're also talking to John Radcliffe from the CIA director might be joining us. We're working on a few things. Anthony Robbins has indicated he might come on with us on Saturday. So we've got a few balls in the air because it is still Wednesday.
Yes, I'm aware of that. We also have to mention you're coming back here to St. Louis. I said that, and there are tickets available right now. Brian is coming to the factory. It's a Saturday night, March 22nd, so it's a perfect weekend event. You can go to briankilmeade.com. You can buy tickets at the factory. There are VIP tickets still available, right, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, I cannot believe the loyalty your listeners have. I think we sold two. I don't know what you guys did over the weekend, but sold a crazy number of tickets. And the thing is, it is the biggest venue I've ever been in. I mean, there's 1,700 seats, and we're over halfway there. So hopefully we can set a record. And Fox Nation's going to have all types of specials there for people who show up. It's an unbelievable app that we have. I think you've seen some of the comedy stuff that we've been advertising and some of the specials. It's really cool. Fox is putting a lot of money into it. So if you come, I think you'd be looking at a year free there, too. And I'll be able to talk about history, liberty, and laughs, our past, what's happening now in our present, and as well as talk about where we are as a country. I think that this show is getting better each time. Hopefully we'll be hitting full stride by March 22nd.
Well, and I've told you, you're going to be blown away. This venue is absolutely beautiful. And I would say this about, you know, filling the seats. If just half the amount of people have asked me and hit me up for freebies for that buy tickets, Brian, I think you're going to be in good shape because I'm getting hit up left and right. So I have to tell people, go to the website.
You're going to come, Mark, you're going to be on stage at some point, right? You're opening up this
I
whole
hope
thing
so. I'm doing a comedy set right before. No, I'm going to do anything that you want me to do, and I'd be happy to do it, and we're looking forward to it. Have a great week. We'll talk next week.
All right, stay within yourself.
Yep. Go buy tickets, briankilmeade.com, The Factory, March 22nd. It's a Saturday night in St. Louis. We have our friend Alex Rich from Y98 who visits on a Wednesday. Today happens to be a Wednesday, so he will be with us. I got a bunch of topics to toss out to the group this afternoon. Sue will have Sue's news. We have, you know, we have Curtis Houck on a regular basis. Curtis is with Media Research Center Newsbusters. We'll talk to him after 5 o'clock about Carolyn Leavitt and her first White House briefing and some of the new media rules that they're instituting, bringing new media into the briefing room, for example. But Curtis also, and I don't know how I've never noticed this before, he's got a tweet that is pinned at the top of his page about his battle against depression. I've been somewhat open about mine and anxiety in particular, so I thought it'd be worth the conversation because I think conversations like that are helpful these days where you might know that you're not alone in some of this stuff. So he's going to join us after 5 o'clock. So this maybe was one of my favorite questions this morning at the RFK Jr. hearing.
Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
No, I never said that.
Okay, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said.
What I know about listening to this morning is that there's a lot of nuance to some of the things that Bobby Kennedy has said over the years. But one of the things that I started my morning with, and I'll just kind of encapsulate this briefly here before we get to the top of the hour. I've always, you know, told people ask me, where do you find news that's unbiased? Well, you really can't, okay? But you can go to Real Clear Politics, and if you go to realclearpolitics.com, it really is a compendium of all the opinion pieces of the day, of audio. So, for example, when I went there this morning, there were two, you know, interesting columns, and one of the things that they do is they make it very easy for you to, you know, you can pick or choose, or you can read the other side. And what they'll do is they'll put the pieces, like, for example, the one that I'm going to talk about here, Carolyn Kennedy, my cousin is a predator, right? So Carolyn
Good
Kennedy's
grief.
Out there. So then Sasha Stone, I've talked about Sasha before. She's the Hollywood person who had the awards website, who was rabidly left-wing. I never unfriend people on Facebook. I unfriended Sasha Stone because 10 years ago, she was such a kook on some of this stuff, right? Well, not unlike Matt Taibbi and Mike Schellenberger and some of the others, she had an epiphany. Mm. And her column, which is right below the Carolyn Kennedy thing, says, Carolyn Kennedy is why I'm no longer a Democrat.
Yep.
So what Carolyn Kennedy said, and she did this in a video, I'll just kind of paraphrase, it's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets because Bobby himself is a predator. She said, recalling how he put baby chickens and mice in a blender to feed his hawks and provided drugs to his cousin. So she says, while he may encourage younger generations to attend AA meetings, Bobby is addicted to attention and power. Bobby preys on the desperation of parents' sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following by hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs. And then she, you know, she talked about, and this came up at the hearing today, Samoa's 2019 outbreak of measles. And they're trying to pin this on him.
Come on.
But when you hear the answers and you hear the nuance and the details of that, I don't think there's really a way to do that. But
no.
Let me focus on what Sasha Stone said, because she just... She says, with the exception of RFK Jr., I never want to have to listen to anyone in the Kennedy family ever again. They've been surfing on the Kennedy name for decades now in underserving ways, up to and including these baseless attacks, personal and ugly, against RFK Jr. the day before his confirmation hearing.
Yep.
Did it really have to go all the way to little pets in a blender, to talk of violence, to calling a predator? Her hysteria, Carolyn Kennedy's hysteria, mirrors the same hysteria shared by everyone on the left now. See, this is where I think it's very important. That's a parallel, right? There is no doubt that hysteria will play out tomorrow, which is today. And by the way, it did, right? It is that hysteria, Sasha wrote, that disconnects from reality of everyday life of America, that has wrecked the once great movement of the left and very nearly wrecked this country.
Yes.
And it is exactly the reason I left the Democrats and have done everything I could to take them out of power.
Yes.
This is where she raises brilliant points, right? Did they care when children were being told that they could choose their own gender and were sent down a path of puberty blockers and surgeries only to wake up with bodies that don't work? And
no.
I have amazing audio from Jamie Reed in front of the legislature in Kansas today on that very topic, right? You know, she sees Trump as a threat to democracy, whatever that means, but he did, you know, this today. Where were the Kennedys on this issue? Oh, I know, hiding as usual. What politician even cared about what was happening to the kids in schools at the hands of corrupt, too powerful mental and medical health industry? I saw some slides today on Fox about the learning loss. My daughter's in fourth grade. The learning loss of girls in particular on reading and math for the last couple of years are down significantly.
And they are panicked that somebody with the Kennedy name who does not agree with them and who is a rational and calm thinker might actually get in there.
She says, Sasha said, what are they so afraid of? That the people might have found for the first time the one Kennedy who actually gives a blank about them?
Exactly.
Does she really think that it's RFK Jr. who will ruin the family name and not, oh, I don't know, Uncle Teddy and that late night drive that killed a young woman? That's a great point. How about how women were brought to her own father to be used and then discarded? That's something that people don't like to talk about with her dad, right? Because that's verboten. I mean, you could say the same thing about Martin Luther King, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of flawed people. We have a flawed person in the White House right now. You have a flawed person you're listening to on the radio right now. We all have things in our past that we are not proud of and that hopefully with maturity we correct and, you know, learn from. But I think what Sasha says is right. It's panic that is ensued.
Yes.
They were panicked because it was this so-called threat to democracy. But now they see how much he's getting done. Well, they don't like that.
Uh-uh.
Right? They don't like that at all. Sue's News coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.